Book Section 3, Infrastructure, Image Description. A full-page, vertical image of tall solar drapes hanging from a line suspended from the tips of telescoping pole. On the ground next to one of these poles is an astronaut standing only about 1/15th of the height of the solar drapes. At the top of each solar drape is a cylindrical motor, allowing the drape to point towards and track the sun as it moves along the horizon during the month. Chapter 9, Power System, that is solar drapes. Summary. This chapter discusses solar and nuclear power on the moon. It highlights the solar drapes concept, which uses the maximum Starship payload capacity to deliver a whole array of thin film PV drapes suspended by a line of telescoping poles. In this way, an average of 5.1 megawatts is produced from a single payload delivery. This is industrial scale power, providing enough for any of the following: ongoing food for 230 people, or 37 tons of propellant per day, or 29 tons of iron per day, or 8 tons of aluminum per day. These high-power products would be produced at the poles and the results shipped overland within 3 days to anywhere else on the moon. Nuclear power would be useful during brief times of shading or during the long nights away from the poles. End of summary. Peaks of eternal light. Because the moon always points its face at the Earth, it rotates on its axis only once a month as it orbits the Earth. For this reason, towards the equator, the moon's day lasts for 2 weeks, and its night also lasts for 2 weeks. If an initial base was located near the equator, it would have to have a power system such as nuclear power to provide the base with enough power to survive the 2-week night. Fortunately, the moon is barely tilted compared to its orbit around the sun. As a result, there are locations near the north and south poles where sunlight shines for greater than 80% of the time. These have been originally given the term peaks of eternal light, PELs. Additionally, these locations tend to be close to certain regions where the sunlight never hits the ground. We call these permanently shadowed regions, PSRs. In 2009, NASA's LCROSS mission conclusively demonstrated the presence of water ice and organic chemicals in one of these permanently shadowed craters in useful concentrations. Solar drapes. The Space Development Network puts forward a concept for solar power at the lunar poles, which represents what we believe would be the least mass maximum power system for the PELs. The concept of operations is that a lander would land away from a specific PEL. The lander would lower a robotic tractor, pulling on a wagon filled with telescoping poles and rolls of thin solar drapes. As the wagon drives to the PEL, and then drives along its ridge, it would tilt up telescoping poles and deploy long footings. Precise adjustments would be made to ensure that these telescoping poles remained directly vertical. As the wagon pulled forward, a suspension line connected between the tips of the poles would be pulled out of the wagon until the next telescoping pole was erected. This process would continue until all poles and drapes were placed on the ground. After this setup was complete, all poles would simultaneously start telescoping vertically, causing the suspension line between them to raise up, and the thin film sheets would unroll. The result would be a very large wall of solar drapes arising up to 60 meters high, which would be perpendicular to the incoming sunlight. Motors between the suspension line and the drapes would ensure that the drapes are always pointing directly at the sunlight as it moves across the horizon during the month. We have calculated that a 100 metric ton payload of solar drapes delivered by a cargo starship would provide industrial levels of power. It would be enough to electrolyze 37.6 metric tons of water each day for propellant, or 28.8 tons of iron per day, or 7.9 tons of aluminum each day. And that is from a single starship payload. Alternately, that much power could be used to grow enough food continuously for 230 people. See our poster below, Transmitting Power. For ice harvesting operations, vertical solar drapes could be set up outside of the periphery of the PSRs, while ice harvesting vehicles operate within. So, how could the power from solar panels get down to the ice harvesters? There are several possible solutions, which people in the field have discussed. Small robots with a spool could lay out a wire from the drapes to a base station that the vehicles would periodically return to recharge. That part of the wire in the permanently shadowed areas could be superconducting tape given the very low temperatures there. Alternately, power could be beamed from the drapes to the vehicles using either microwaves or lasers. The advantage of this approach is the savings of the mass of the wire. Some have proposed placing a transparent tent over icy regolith and then using mirrors on neighboring ridges to redirect sunlight onto the tent to heat the regolith to steam out the volatiles into rovers with tanks where the volatiles could be condensed. But this approach seems to be complicated when it comes to laying out the tent over uneven ground, sealing the periphery, and then uncovering and moving the tents. Given the L-cross results showing fairly high concentrations of water, it would probably be simpler just to transmit the power to excavating vehicles and to use electrical power to steam out the volatiles within the harvesters themselves. Power storage. Most lunar advocates, along with NASA, recognize the great value in starting the first base at the southern lunar pole, where there are both the so-called peaks of eternal light and high concentrations of volatiles. But even at these peaks, there will be nights lasting for several days. And as one establishes a base anything more than a few hundred kilometers away from the poles, very quickly the nights become 14 days long. If each facility doesn't have its own nuclear power source, there will need to be an energy storage solution. Types of power storage. Perhaps the easiest and most straightforward storage solution would be to simply use batteries, but they have significant mass and may be difficult to produce cheaply using local materials. Alternately, electricity during the day electrolyzes water into hydrogen and oxygen, and then runs them back through a fuel cell during the night. Alternate forms of power storage could include flywheels using local material, or thermal wadis where head is stored in the regolith during the day, which then powers equipment that produces electricity at night. Reducing power consumption. It is likely that one wouldn't run operations during the night at the same level of energy consumption that one does during the lunar day. So, during the night, energy-intensive operations would come offline and activities would turn from operations to low-power activities, such as maintenance, cleaning, food processing, and recreation. Solar concentrators. Solar concentrators are parabolic mirrors that concentrate sunlight to a point or line. This concentrated sunlight can heat a liquid, which transmits that heat to an engine that can produce power or electricity. Since they are just mirrors, they could be somewhat thinner than solar panels and, more importantly, they could be constructed using local aluminum found in the rocks of the lunar highlands. The concentrated sunlight can be used directly for certain processes, including melting, sintering, cooking, and in support of some chemical processes. These solar concentrators could be connected to Stirling engines, which are highly efficient. These engines could be connected to electrical generators to produce electricity. Regional power grid. The poles are limited areas even in the polar regions. There are many areas at the poles that don't have these peaks. One could imagine setting up, over the long term, a network of towers on regional peaks that would use microwaves to transmit power between them. Alternatively, aluminum is abundant in the lunar regolith, whereas there are no known copper ore bodies on the moon. On Earth, high tension, high voltage, long distance wires tend to be made of aluminum, not copper. By using connecting different pels, each pole region could supply power 24/7, including operations down in the permanently shadowed craters. Image description. An image of the lunar South Pole with multiple craters, both large and small. Some craters have black floors, indicating that they are permanently shadowed regions. Four peaks of eternal light have green circles. Red lines indicate beaming between those peaks. Then, each peak has secondary yellow lines pointing down into nearby, permanently shadowed craters. In this way, continuous power is transmitted throughout the region. Nuclear power. Different types of power systems will be needed for the different phases of development at different locations. Starting at the lunar poles, photovoltaics and concentrated sunlight will be the dominant source of power. Later, facilities will be established away from both poles, perhaps at sites that are frequently visited, for example, tourism sites. A people group has established a settlement, or where specific elements are being mined. In this case, the lunar nights would last for about 14 Earth days, during which no solar power could be produced on the surface. Nuclear reactors would be ideal for providing power, especially during the long nights. Shipping nuclear fuel from Earth to non-polar areas would be the obvious thing to do initially, as a whole lot of power could be shipped as a small amount of mass. Fissile material can be launched safely from Earth, but would need to overcome politically driven pushback. With time, nuclear fuel could be produced from resources on the Moon. In particular, there are a few locations on the Moon that are known to have higher concentrations of thorium, which can be used as a safe source of nuclear fuel. NASA is developing the Kilo Power system, which would be very useful for powering habitats. Image description: a full-page image oriented horizontally. It is a scientific poster with modern design. The poster title is Concepts of Operations for the Establishment of Solar Drapes at the Lunar South Pole. Authors are Doug Plata, MD, MPH, and Chris Wolf, both of the Space Development Network. The body of the poster has four sections, including introduction, erection, delivery, and setout, and power uses. In the delivery and setout section, it has an image of the Starship landed on the Moon. Below that is a simplistic image of a wagon having used an auger to drill a hole into the ground. A telescoping pole is being tilted up to be placed in the hole. At the tip of the telescoping pole comes a suspension line, which is connected to one of many stacked rolls of solar drapes. In the erection section, it shows the poles having telescoped and a whole wall of solar drapes separated from each other by about half the width of a drape. In the power usage section, it describes how much of each product would be produced each day, given an average of 5.1 megawatts of power. Finally, there is a reference URL address.